But we get things rolling this afternoon by getting on board the telephone line and saying hello to a former Patriots general manager, legendary broadcaster, author of the wonderful book Present at the Creation, Upton Bell, joins us this afternoon. Upton, how are you, my friend?
I'm fine, but I want to report the death of baseball is near.
Oh, really?
And I have a lot of reasons why, but the first reason why is, did you see how many empty seats were in Dodger Stadium yesterday? Have you seen the latest that says that baseball was way down total attendance? I'm not talking about Fenway, which lives in a completely different world, but I just think, and as somebody who has watched it very closely from about 1948 on in, it's too slow a game. There are too many games. There are too many strikeouts. There's not enough action. And most importantly, for your listeners, how many people watch even half of a 162-game schedule? They don't. I just don't think it's a game. I love it, but I don't think it's a game for the ages.
Well, and games, the pace of games has always been an issue, but it seems to me one of the problems, one of the many problems, the constant interruptions, and they've tried to do something about it, the trips to the mound. The pitching changes, though, to me, is an area they could look at to speed up the game. We've gotten to an age where from the sixth inning on, if it's a close game, you might see half a dozen different relievers trotted out there, and nobody wants to watch that.
Well, it's not only that. They've tried to make peace with the idea, but the owners want to make a lot of money, and therefore more and more time for commercials. They try to show a little bit of live stuff as they do on the NFL while the commercials are going on. But the reality of and all of sports has changed with people's viewing habits. They can get it on their phone. They can get it on their computer. They can get it anywhere, that the people, the young people that are coming along today will not sit for baseball. I think baseball, Rich, is in deeper trouble than any of the major sports because of what they've done to it. And not only that, the Player Association, they control the game. And because of that, a lot of changes that I think maybe the commissioner would like to make, maybe not all the old fuddy-duddy owners, but, essentially, you have to have too many things. You have to speed up the game. We've got to stop, as you said, the visits to the mound. We've got to stop getting out of the batter's box. We definitely have to have a pitch clock. I don't care whether they like it or not. And I don't care whether they say, well, it didn't used to be that way in Babe Ruth's time. The reality is less and less people each year are attending baseball games. On top of it, even though all sports are now really expensive, baseball is the one sport that used to be you take the family, you take the kids, you want that tradition to go on. Who the hell can afford to take three or four people to even the Red Sox game? Out parking, water, $5, hot dogs, $10. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I just think they are shooting themselves in the foot, and as a result, you have the Red Sox, you have the Yankees, maybe Cleveland, maybe Houston, maybe L.A., but a lot of the smaller markets that used to love baseball, the attendance is way down.
Well, and I think there are a couple of other factors. One is that we have a lot of teams this year who have decided not to be competitive, that they'll just work on rebuilding and hope the fans show up anyway. And I felt for a long time that we've killed off most of a generation of younger fans by not starting most postseason games until well after bedtime for youngsters here on the East Coast.
You're right about that. And I watched those games yesterday in between watching a Trump deny everything and trying to have 10 beers to see if I could stay awake. But what has happened here is that the networks and the sponsors, they want it where they can make sure that the West Coast and parts of the West get the games. But as a result, you're right. And listen, the NBA does it. The NFL at least has Sunday afternoon. They do have Sunday night games and Monday night games and Thursday night games, but basically it's Sunday afternoon. And if you want to watch the night games, you can, but at least there's some football on there. I think the stewards of a lot of these leagues have forgotten that it is about the sport and not the almighty book, which is what's happened to the NFL.
Well, and doesn't that go back to what we've talked about before with you, Upton? We've talked about it in the realm of football, but I think it applies to baseball, too, that when, you know, when your father got involved first in sports ownership and then as a commissioner, those people were, by and large, sportsmen. They love the games, but we've come to this new generation where the owners of teams are just rich guys who need another diversion or a tax dodge, and they don't really love the games.
Well, they don't. You know, somebody made the point, and I honestly believe this. So is Mark Leibovich, and you know what? You ought to get him on your show. I heard him speak, and he and I had a long discussion about his book, Big Game, The Life in the NFL in Dangerous Times. And he, along with another book that I recommend to you called The League, that is by John Eisenberg out of Baltimore, terrific writer, who looks at the lives of the five original owners you are discussing right now. Burt Bell, George Halas, the Maras in New York, George Preston Marshall, and looked at their lives and looked at how they, even though they fought among each other, but it was the most productive time in football, and basically they did everything, including permitting Burt Bell, my father, to put in the draft, which hurt a lot of the rich teams that were in the NFL, but they did because they thought it was best for the league. He compares it against the owners today, as Leibovich does too, about what's happened to the game. And one of the things that Leibovich says in The Big Game is, and this is really true, if Trump had gotten the Buffalo Bills, he never would have run for president, because those people, the multi-billionaires and guys like Trump, considered the NFL more important than being president of the United States. And there's no question in my mind what Leibovich says is true. If Trump had gotten that, where he could parade, you know, every week and be a big shot like Kraft and all these other people, and that's what's changed in the game too. The owners used to hide. They might come in the locker room after the game. They would never want a TV camera on them. They wanted to be part of the game, but not the big publicity thing. People buy today into these leagues because you might have heard of them, but you've never seen them. But they buy entree into a very exclusive world, and therefore they are also interested not only in self-promotion, but they're interested in buying a tax break and buy into even more money. But I asked, as Al Davis once said about 30 years ago, like him or not, at one of the league meetings I was at, he said, as soon as we throw the lawyers and the financiers out of the goddamn room, he said, then we'll get back to football.
We're talking with Upton Bell here on Downtown. The Patriots, I'm sure you've enjoyed talk radio in Boston, as everybody has been panicking about the Patriots, and now a big winner for Miami. And it seems that there are two camps, those who believe that, hey, the Patriots are back, nothing to worry about, and the other extreme, the folks who now are convinced that the Dolphins just weren't very good.
Well, I told somebody in the first 10 minutes, I said, this game's over. Because basically, Miami didn't come into play. I don't like the quarterback at all. I will tell people, don't be fooled by this. We'll see maybe Thursday night, although I don't like Indy, but you're going to see somebody throw the football maybe 50, 60 times, so it will test their defense. But then the following Sunday night, they play the Kansas City Chiefs, which I believe has the best quarterback, one of the best young quarterbacks in the last 10 or 15 years, Mahomes, and he will, with his team, really test them. I think this is the worst edition of the Patriots I've seen in the last 18 years. That doesn't mean they can't win, because they're still in the tomato can division. So are they really a good team? I don't think so. But if you look at their schedule, yes, they have some tough teams, but there are too many problems here. Even with Julian Edelman coming back, their receiving corps is the weakest I've seen, and they got rid of their best player, and he's now out in L.A. with the Rams and having a great year. Maybe or maybe not Gronkowski will play. Maybe his ankle is worse than it is. The defense, I don't like at all. So I think that Belichick did the worst job this year he's done since he's been here. And I the biggest question I have, as good a coach as he is and a sometimes good drafter and trader, is why do you take a 41-year-old quarterback who's at the end of his career and give him the worst receiving corps since 2006? Does that make sense to you? It doesn't make sense to me.
Tomorrow, Upton, we're going to be talking with author Jack Gilden. He's got a brand new book out called Collision of Wills, Johnny Unitas, Don Shula, and the Rise of the Modern NFL. You knew that situation very, very well. I know you ranked Johnny Unitas pretty close to the top of your list of great quarterbacks of all time.
Well, and I'll be interested to hear from you what Gilden has to say afterwards, because first and foremost, in my book, I picked Unitas and Brady as the two best of all time. But when Ron Borges pressed me and said, who do you think the best you've ever seen? I said Unitas for many reasons, and two of them were he called all his own plays, and Brady doesn't, although I think Brady could if they get rid of their $5 million offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels. I think that, to me, hurts the game. Of course, people today don't understand that. The other thing is that Unitas was hit on every play. The way that they've styled it now, it's a passing game totally, and you can't touch the quarterback anymore, although a couple of hits Sonny were pretty bad. But it is a fascinating look at Shula and Unitas because they were both alike, both stubborn, both bright, both very, very tough. And but I think some people, and I'll be interested to hear from you about Gilden, some people, I think, have exaggerated what really went on there because I saw the whole thing day by day. And certainly there's a clash of wills. You don't think behind the scenes there isn't a clash of wills between Brady and Belichick?
No, of course there is.
In Siberia down there and Foxborough, you're never going to learn anything. So it'll be interesting to see what he says and what he makes out of it, because I am still in touch with Shula from time to time, and of course saw John just before he died. It's a very, very sad case because the NFL turned their back on the greatest quarterback who saved the game with that 1958 championship game in New York, which I was at, the greatest game ever played, and brought it to prominence. And it is an amazing story where Shula, in my opinion, is among the top three greatest quarterbacks of all time. So it should be a terrific addition. I really would like to hear what he has to say and maybe comment later on sometime about the whole situation.
Well, we'll definitely do that. We'll make plans, to say the least. Upton, always a treasure for us to talk with you. We appreciate you coming on, and we will catch up with you again very soon.
Rich, and just remember, when in doubt, have a beer with Jeff.
Sage advice, Upton Bell, here on Downtown, author of Present at the Creation.